Okay. Well, we have been talking about lean not to your own understanding. And if you've walked through life at all, you know, we got some graduates in here recently, and you know, remember that, you know, when you graduate from high school or when you're done with school, those of you old enough, you know, you got all these big plans, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, I'm nowhere near. And now some people do. I wasn't that person, right, that knew, you know, I'm way off from what I thought I was going to be. And you know what? God has plans, and that's why it's important not to lean to your own understanding, because Bible talks about you make the plans, but the Lord will lead your path, right? It means you're going to walk a certain direction, but he does have the right to mess up things. change your plans, doesn't he? And so we don't need to lean on to our own understanding, in that, you know, throughout the Bible we see that, and it's always inevitable, when you do trust God, it's never going to be the way you think it's going to be. Ever. Ever. Right? Now, some people, they have a plan, and there are different things, but when God leads you, often, you know, you think it's, well, I got plan A, and then plan B, and then plan C, and he's like, well, I got plan Z for you. And we're going to find out some scriptures tonight. We'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. But while you're turning there, you know, just to talk about trusting the Lord, lean not on your understanding, I had no interest in doing ministry. Nobody in my family was really in the ministry. Nobody preached or did anything. But I did find out, doing some lineage, that I've got some. My great grandmother on my mom's side was German, and I found out that her family came from shortly after the Reformation with Martin Luther, that they ended up as ministers within about 50 years where Martin Luther was. So they were kind of on the groundbreaking of the Protestant Reformation, or the rebellion away from the Catholic Church. And so they were actually Lutherans that, you know, kind of were, I would say, instrumental in about the 1600s right after Martin Luther. So other than that, you know, I don't really have any distant. So to me, ministry was never this thing that I wanted to do or imagined to do. But the interesting thing is, you know, and I, when I was growing up, I was Pentecostal. We were Pentecostal, but I never heard of this guy, Kenneth Hagin, right? I never knew who Kenneth Hagin was. And then everybody, and I knew who Oral Roberts was, and I knew some of these other people. But it's interesting how God led us to this third world country called Oklahoma. And it was not my choice, right? It was one of those when we went to Oklahoma, and we've ever gone through the turnpike and went to Oklahoma. It is one boring place. I mean, it's horribly boring, right next to Kansas, and get on some of those roads. Anyway, but God knew that the person that I was going to be knit with in the spirit realm was going to be Kenneth Hagin. And when I listen to his messages and I listen to things, there's just something about his voice. It just does something inside of me. And God calls us to people. And, you know, there in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about, you know, there's many teachers and everything, but there's very few fathers. What it means is there's very few people out there. There's all these people that want to teach and do these things, but there's very few spiritual fathers in this world. And for me, it's Kenneth Hagin is really my, you know, spiritual father. And there's just such wisdom. But God will lead us and do things that are not going to be our conventional wisdom or what we plan on doing, right? And so, you know, I would imagine probably a lot of you never thought, you know, 5 years ago you'd be sitting here tonight. But God does have a plan. And he is going to lead you and guide you in all truth. And we're going to see through Scripture that you lean into your own understanding. It's not going to be good. Now, I'm not saying we don't use the gray matter between our ears, right? You think about things, right? You just don't go out and do dumb things. Like, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to close my eyes and put blindfold myself, and I'm going to be led by the Spirit and walk across the street. Well, you're going to get hurt. Okay, you're going to get run over. We're not talking about that. And that's where, again, the religious folks, they want to make us look like goofballs and we're weirdos, and Nobody said that you don't use your brain and you shut off your thinking and you don't have reasoning, and there's obviously these things, and God gave us those things for a reason. But there are just some things that pass understanding that we don't know what tomorrow holds, we don't know what next week holds, and we don't know what a year from now holds. But God lives in the past, the present, and the future. He knows all realms at all time. He is everywhere at all time. It's all the same to him. So when we think about things, we're talking about being led by the Spirit. He knows what tomorrow brings, and it's good to be led by the Spirit. Don't lean on your understanding, because I had some things on the inside, but I didn't know COVID was around the corner. But he did, right? And a lot of people would have really, it would have been nice to know, because again, there were some things that on the inside, you know, we were going to renew our old lease and do different things. On the inside, it was like, we got something else going. And there's just something on the inside I couldn't put my hand on. Well, guess what? It was COVID. And you're thinking, well, you know, should God have, you know, met our needs? Yes, but here's the thing. It's better to obey than to sacrifice, right? This is where people get into problems and trouble, is because they're trying to make things do. If God didn't lead you, he won't provide it. That's very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, and it says, "You do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory." Now, let me just stop there for a minute. We need God's wisdom. "The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood." Here we go. "For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, things which eyes has not seen, and ear which has not heard, and which has not entered the human heart, all that God has prepared for those who love him." What does this mean? Let's stop for a minute. That means this. The things that God has prepared for us, you're not going to see it with your eyes, right? You're not going to hear it with your natural ears. It's going to be something, because we're spirit people. We are spirit beings. It's something that God is going to put in our hearts. And it's not something we're going to figure. We're not going to Google the purpose for our life. Okay? It's just not Google. I remember some people, it's really funny, during different things, and people are like, "Well, I Googled it, set it on Google." It's like, "Oh, okay." You know, or Siri says something, or whatever the weird AI thing is out there lately. Yeah, whatever the creepy things are out there. But anyway, I mean, there's some useful things for AI. I don't have anything against it, but you know, yeah, there are some things that kind of weird me out. But anyway, so, you know, Google is not going to be the end-all be-all, right? I hate to tell you that, but it's not. AI is definitely going to be the end-all. But God is the one, and we're going to get it not through our eyes or our ears or natural ways, but he's going to put it into our hearts. And it's very important that we be led by the Spirit. Here we go, verse 10. "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." So the Holy Spirit is searching the things out, the deep things of God. What is that? The deep things. And there's only, I'm going to say this, you won't have fulfillment in life until you unlock the things that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. And you're like, "Well, Pastor, does that mean I need to go to Africa?" I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you're, but what it does mean is maybe what you're doing, there's maybe some more fulfilling things that God is going to use you in. You know, when I say these things about not being, it doesn't mean that, oh, you have to quit your job, you have to move to Africa, and you have to do the, we're not saying that, but what we're saying is there may be things in your life that God is going to stir up, or there's some things that fulfilled, or callings, or just different things that you need to do in your life, or for your family, right? There are just some things to pray out. I want to look at 2 Corinthians 4:4. So again, the things of God are not going to come from the natural thing. You're not going to read a book about it. Okay, you're not going to go to Amazon and buy a book on these things. It's just it's caught sometimes and not taught. Right? I can watch a video all day long about how to hit a ball, how to shoot a hoops or you know, whatever, but until I get in there and actually do it, it's again, it's caught, not taught. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they will not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There are people out here right now that are going along. We're gonna leave at some point. Yeah, I'm going to talk about food. We'll go eat, okay? And I'm hungry, by the way. No, I'm kidding. Last week, Dwight and I were talking about, like, Dwight, I'm hungry, and church hasn't even started. So, this is going to be real short. Hungry preachers preach short, okay? All right? I'm not super hungry, so we're going to, no, I'm kidding. But, so we're going to go out here, and there's just people living their lives, right? They have no idea what's going on. They just, their whole life is the existence of just, I get up in the morning, I go to work, I watch TV, I play with my phone, or whatever I do, and that's my life, right? And that's very dismal thinking. It's very short term. And I mean, even some people, they're very, you know, with it together. They're planning vacations, or they're trying to plan investments in their 401k, and that's it, you know, or they're trying to prepare for retirement, and that's all their life exists about. No. We see here that many of the people in this world, they're blinded. You know that often the thing that we deal with and that Jesus dealt with was spiritual blindness. You know, have you ever had those things before where, the kids will tell me things like, Dad, when I was little, I thought this. Or, Dad, when I was little, I thought that, you know. When you grow and you mature, you begin to see different things. It's because your understanding is very limited. It's kind of like if I would talk to somebody in the world that's, I'll walk into a bar and talk to somebody, or, you know, somebody that was, you know, have no experience whatsoever of God and talk about these things, you wouldn't be able to comprehend it because they've never experienced it. This is an interesting one. Isaiah 14:9. So, as you're turning there, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we just read, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. How are they blinded the minds? Because all the God of this world gets people to focus on the natural circumstances. Your whole life in the world system, the heathen realm, is all about natural things, right? Let's see. The only way I'm going to feel good is doing something in the natural. The only way I'm going to be able to, get any kind of release is through a natural release, right? Whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. See, you're always looking to the natural thing, and there's nothing supernatural, there's nothing God to be able to step in and help us. Isaiah 14:9-15, now it says, Sheol, which is another word for hell, below, is excited about you and to meet you when you come. It stirs up the spirits of the dead for you, all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have become weak as we, and you have become like us. Now, what he's talking about is the devil, okay? And let's go on. I want to pause here for a moment. So, actually, let's go on. Your pride and the music of your harps have brought you down to Sheol, or hell. Maggots are spread over, out on your bed beneath you, and worms are covering. And you have fallen from heaven, you star of the morning, son of the dawn, and you have cut down to the earth. You have defeated the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be brought down to Sheol, or hell, and to the recesses of the pit. So I want to stop there for a moment. This is the ultimate of pride. And what is pride? Ignoring God's will. Ignoring his leading. Ignoring him, saying, I've got it all figured out. And who did that the most? Lucifer, the devil. He had it all figured out. And I want to stop here for a minute, because it's very interesting here that it says the kings of the earth will respond and say, even you have become weak as us, and you have become like us. Now, I want to stop there for a moment, because in a little bit of a trial, just for interesting history here, there's a group of people called the Luciferians. And the Luciferians' whole philosophy is that the snake in the garden, or Lucifer, is actually the hero because he's liberating Adam and Eve from mean old God, right? And the thought process is that even if they end up going to hell, the Lucifer will be there and deliver them out of hell. Guess what? It's a one-way street, and they're not coming back out, right? So that's why the scripture is saying, oh, well, guess what? You're weak just like we are. We're not getting out of here. And it all stems from pride, and pride is the ultimate rejection of who God is. Now, I want to talk just a minute on pride for a moment, because really, if we're not going to be led by the Spirit, if we don't really care what God thinks, and we're not going to honor Him and honor His Word, it's really about pride. And if you look at pride, pride is, and I've looked up some of, as far as mental health and some other things and how it impacts people, but whereas a person with unhealthy pride regularly, here we go, brags about their often exaggerated accomplishments. So you ever notice how in this scripture, the devil brags about, I'm going to be above you. I'm going to be, now who in their right mind that's not psychotic would think that they're going to be above God if you've ever been around God before? I mean, have you heard of people that have been in the spirit realm that have gone to heaven and they said when God speaks, it's like an earthquake. His voice, and it's like many waters. And the Bible talks about God's voice is like a many rushing waters, and it sounds like a rushing waters, and it's so powerful. And people have had visions of, or you know, experienced God has taken them to hell, but when God speaks, it's like all of hell shakes. So anybody in the right mind would think that they're going to ascend themselves above God is absolutely got massive amount of screws loose, right? And so, you know, that's the ultimate pride, is exaggerating yourself or your abilities beyond where they're at. It often distorts one's capabilities. It's egotistical. Here we go. It also brings about arrogance and egotism. And it can stir up what? Aggression and conflict. That's the absolute definition of the devil, right? And what is he? He is all about rejecting the Word of God, rejecting being led by the Spirit. Matthew 7:21. I'm glad people can come to church and take a nap. I love it. Watch it. Mom and Dad's going to be taking a nap on me for a long ride. I remember those days. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who calls out, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Here we go. Only those who what? Actually do the will of my Father in heaven will what? Enter. See, being led by the Spirit and obeying Him is very important, right? We think we're just going to say a prayer and then we're on our way and everything's okay. Well, that's not the way things are going to happen. When we're a Christian walk, it's going to be we love God, we pursue Him. We are in pursuit of Him. You know, the great thing is God pursued us. He sent Jesus. He was proactive. Even it says, even when we were dead in our sins, He still came to redeem us. He still came to deliver us. That's so, you know, God is always the initiator on every, God initiated, He obviously created us. He, not only did He create us, but He put us in a world where there's provision. Now, some people don't walk in provision, but God has provided for us. There is love there, and everything we have good on the earth is because of God. And you look at earth, the earth is, I mean, you know, it's the conglomeration of hell and heaven fighting each other, and we're seeing conflict on both sides, right? So if you're not born again and you're not saved, this is the best it's going to do. I mean, it's not going to get any better than this, right? So you might as just, you know, be thankful you got bills to pay and everything else, right? But if you're going to go to heaven, this is the worst it's going to get. So I prefer the latter, because it's only going to get worse if you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you're not a lover of Jesus, it's not going to be good. Matthew 12:50 says, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now this is Jesus speaking, because this is a time where Jesus, They're saying, oh, where are your brother? Where are your sister? Where are they at? What's going on here? And he says, whoa, wait. The person who does the will of my Father, right? So we can just basically say those who are led by the Spirit, those who pursue God, those who want to obey God, those who want to live for Him, those are my brothers, those are my sisters, those who I commend as my family, right? And Jesus told the disciples when He was on the earth, He's like, now I don't call you servants anymore, I call you what? Friends. What are friends? Friends are someone that you confide in, right? You're good friends, right? Hey, I got this going on. What do you think? What do you think of this? What do you think of that, right? I mean, I want to know what God thinks, don't you? I mean, I really do. Like, there are things I'm praying about right now. I'm like, Lord, I've got a decision to make. I've got some things I want to do. What are your thoughts on this? And like I always said, when we're led by the Spirit, I do a litmus test on both things. First of all, I envision myself doing it. Do I have peace doing it? Because if I do, that's a good thing. But then I also think about things. I step back and say, okay, if I don't do this, do I have a good feeling or a sinking feeling? Lord, what are you leading me on, right? Because I always hear people say things like, well, I want to know what if I'm supposed to do this or not. Okay, well then, you know, envision yourself saying, all right, make plans, start moving towards that. Do you have peace about it? If you have a sinking feeling, then just wait. Here are some things that will locate you where you're at. One of them is if you're focused on what your opinion is. It's very important, right? All these people are going, well, I don't believe this, and I don't believe this, and I don't believe this, right? I hear a lot of religious folks say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, my church doesn't believe this. Well, wait a minute. What's the Word say? What does the Bible say? Because that's really, really, really important. Because we can get deceived and say, well, my church believes this, my church, you know, everything that our tenets of faith is all Scripture-based. And I'm not saying other churches aren't. Because everything that comes out of my mouth is not, okay, whether our creed believes it. It was like, where does it say in Scripture? And is it balanced? Again, often religious people argue with their denomination, well, that's not what my denomination believes. But they don't consider the Word of God or even the inward dwelling. What is the inward, what is the Holy Spirit saying, right? Another thing, too, again, you know, I've had jobs before in the past, and sometimes it always looks great, you know, being led by the Spirit, and just, again, not leaning to understanding. It seems like more money. I have a couple bosses that it seems like they're very mentally unstable. Am I the only one that's ever had that before, right? I had a guy one time, and I've worked around, you know, I used to work in a factory and everything, too, and I worked around some pretty rough people. I mean, we're talking, yeah. And I've grown up around really rough people before, and so nothing surprises me. I mean, I don't, yeah. Anyway, but I had a boss one time, and I took a job because, you know, I thought, ended up the guy would come, and I mean, just like Jekyll and Hyde, you know, I mean, he just 1 minute he loved you, the next minute, well, 1 minute he just cussed at me because some machine wasn't working right or something wasn't happening, and something was fouling up, and he'd just blow up and cuss at me and cuss the machine and cuss the maintenance guy and everything. And then he'd come back an hour later and ask me how Adrian was doing. I'm like, you know, all over the place. But see, it seems like a good idea to take a job, right? But we don't know what it's going to be like. And that's why it's important to be led by the Spirit. Because, and sometimes you got to take a job. I've been in a situation where, like, well, I need a job. You know, I mean, the Bible says, don't work, you don't eat, you know. So you got to work, you got to do something. But sometimes, when you get to that point, you know, Adrian and I moved back to, when we moved to Tulsa, we just had to get a job, and we came back to Des Moines. It's like, you got to start working or doing something until you can kind of, you know, get into the groove and, you know, network with people or whatever and connect with people. I've had one time I took a job with a lady, and it was, you know, thought, well, this would be, you know, good opportunities, more money and different things, and you talk about crazy. I mean, you know, it was just up and down and never consistent and just emotional all over the place and just angry and moody with people all the time. And then, you know, oh, I'd be doing the greatest job and this is wonderful and everything. And then when I handed my resignation, she just blew up and started screaming, I should have fired you years ago. You know, the point is, if we're led by the Spirit often, you know, just because we have a new job and it's more money, it doesn't mean it's going to be better. Right? Because you don't know what you're getting into sometimes. Now, again, you know, there's situations you just need a job and you obviously got to work and there's just different things. But sometimes God knows what's on the other side, right? And also, too, being led by the Spirit, I've had things where I didn't know, but my job was actually, the company's actually shutting down while I was making plans to go into another industry. So, see, I didn't know those things. On the inside, I just got like, I got to go. I got to, something inside me says, I got to start, you know, doing some different things and, you know, move along here to do different things. And all of a sudden, right, months before, just a few months before I was ready to just, you know, cut ties, they closed the whole company down. So again, it's very important because why I didn't know. See, again, all goes back to that scripture we talked about earlier. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that have entered into the heart of man. Meaning this, there are things that your mind, your eye, everything looks great, but, you know, I'm a finance guy, so everything with me is numbers and statistics and all this other egg-headed junk. And I remember the recession of 2008. You know, you just look on TV, everything's wonderful, everything's great. And all of a sudden, the housing market just drops and everything else just falls apart, right? Well, our eyes, our natural mind, everything is just looks fabulous. Those are all kinds of junk that went on behind the scenes, but, you know, all these companies, it will never fail. You know, it looked like everything was great and all these strong companies financially. And then all of a sudden, behind the scenes, you don't know what's going on and everything falls apart, right? We had like four or five houses in our neighborhood at the time went to foreclosure, right? That just helps your resale value, doesn't it? It's like, thanks, guys. Yeah. Another time, I have a friend of mine that took over a church. Actually, the board called me. And again, guys, just on the inside, you know, a friend of mine put me down as a reference, and I talked to the board about him going there. Had a great conversation. So while I was in the conversation, the Holy Spirit was speaking about things. And so this friend of mine, I told him, I said, you know, have you prayed about this? Yeah. And he had come and to our house and we talked and I just kind of shared with him some things. And I said, well, I just keep getting on the inside. You know, if you're going to take the church, you need to take things slow. Something on the inside just tells me you need to start kind of pump the brakes. And, you know, before you start making any major changes, just because let's just face it, you know, any kind of your leadership position or something, you need to build relationships with people, right? I mean, you just can't go in and just, I'm the boss, and you're all going to do what I have to say. And, you know, you have to kind of, respect is earned, not given. Is that fair to say? You know, when you're working with people, you want to work as a team. Again, you care about people. I mean, sometimes you have to make decisions, and they're just people that, you know, people are people. They're going to do things, and doesn't mean necessarily everything's, you know, bad. But anyway, he just wouldn't listen, and he went in and started demanding things, and anyway, within 4 months, he was gone. And it's just one of those things where on the inside, we've got to be very, especially we're going into situations we don't know. 2 + 2 = 5, right? No, I'm kidding. It's 4. Girls are looking at me like, Dad, you've helped me with math. Has it been right? But there are some things we know 2 + 2 = 4. We just know there are things that, you know, you just put it in and it's calculated and it's done and we don't have to think about it, right? But there are some things that we just don't know the mix of it. But again, the Holy Spirit is searching the deep things of God. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit wants to reveal some things to you that is impossible for you to know. It is impossible for you to know without the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14. You guys are quiet. It's quiet. I'm putting live out there. It's like people are sleeping and I put babies asleep. I got the touch, right? Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are what? The sons of God." Do you notice a lot of scriptures we're reading tonight are, "You're with me if you obey me. You're with me if you follow me. If you're listening to me." Those who deal the will of my Father, they're my brothers, they're my sisters, they're my family. Here, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Again, it does not negate the logic, because, guys, we are a 2 Thessalonians 5:23. The Apostle Paul tells those in Thessalonica that there's three parts of man. And one of the things I learned from Brother Hagin is the order of what is the spirit, the soul, and the body. Now, people, and most people, they confuse the soul and they just call it the spirit. But the Apostle Paul breaks it down into three areas. The spirit, that's the real you. Okay, that's what, when you die, you're either going to go, people are going to go to heaven or hell. That's the, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. That's your memory. That's your emotions. That's where you calculate 2 + 2. And then, of course, your body, it's our house. It's what we live in. And so the Holy Spirit will speak to your spirit, which will communicate with your mind. So we don't throw our mind our mind out the window, because that's the avenue which God speaks to us. And so I want to turn to Romans 8 real quick, 14. We're already there, but I want to read just kind of the portions above and on that, and we'll close here. Romans 8, this is a great chapter. We were in, Adrian and I were in Damata. Every time we would get Ephesians, we would read the Ephesians prayers out of Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 3. And we would also go to Romans chapter 8, and we would start in verse 1, and we would read through that. But it's very interesting, 14 here. 8:14, Romans says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So again, like we talked about, the Spirit does not, you can't hear, you can't see it. It's not something physical that you can obtain. It's only going to be obtained by the Spirit. And how is it obtained by the Spirit? If we're born again and we're connecting with the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, "For we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself," what? "Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Now, here's a flip out the religious folks, because it says here that we're joint heirs with Christ. Did you know that Christ was the first one to be born again? Now, Jesus didn't commit sin, but he became sin on us. He became our sin was put upon him. He spiritually died. And what does that mean? Well, we see that when he was on the cross. And then the Father left him, and he says, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Well, what is spiritual death? It's just separation from God is all it is. That's all hell is. Hell is just, it's just separation from God. It's God's presence void, and then you'll see the chaos. Well, hopefully we don't want you to see the chaos. But I'm saying there's people there. That's what life is like without the presence of God. Because all God is love and compassion. And just the opposite is every evil work. Galatians tells us. Then it goes on here, and it says, then we are joint heirs with Christ. What that means is everything Christ accomplished at the cross, defeated death, hell, and the grave, Revelations 1:17 through 19, everything he accomplished There also see that, you know, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, says he went to hell. When he came up, he gave gifts unto men, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to do the work of the ministry to perfect the saints. So when Jesus came blasting out of hell, he gave us the fivefold ministry gifts, which are, we just talked about, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to train up the body so he can do the works of the ministry. When he blasted out of that, he had defeated death, hell, and the grave. Everything that Christ accomplished, he now gave it to us when we become born again. And part of that is not just being saved, but it's now we can commune and we can be. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's so much revelation in that statement. The way. Well, he bridges the way between us and God again. Because really, it's all about getting back to the Father. And Jesus is the bridge to us to get back to the Father. Our relationship is because the Father was, again, came down to the cool of the day with Adam and Eve, and he brought us back to that time. Because really, guys, we were created to have fellowship with God. God is not our slot machine. He is not here. He's not a sugar daddy just to give us what we want anytime we want to. He wants to bless us, but the whole thing was to be fellowship with Father. And that's what Jesus accomplished at the cross, was to bring us back to fellowship. I'm going to tell you what, that's all that matters, is fellowship with God. Because I'm telling you, people without God and the ultimate, because we do have obviously the presence of God here on the earth now. God does manifest here on the earth, but the only place he doesn't is hell. And that's where anything goes. There is no love. There is no compassion. There is no mercy. But the opposite of that is God, which is ultimate love and provision. I believe we're probably going to get to the other side. I'm going to have a kick me sign on the back when I get to heaven, like kick me because all the stuff you missed. You know, I believe that. I'm going to get to I still think we have people here, and I'm probably things too, or God's going to like, you know, you have this gifting in you, and you have this gifting in you, and you have this gifting in you, and you had this gifting in you. And I'm sure that they're going to have a big V8 machine up there, and you're going to go, I could have had a V8. Here you go. A lot of you younger people have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? Remember that? I could have had a V8. It's vegetable juice. That was a commercial back then. You know, commercials. You know, remember TV? Big square box things about this big, you know. That was a remote control, too. Remember that? You know, my grandpa had an antenna up on the roof of his place. Anyway, back when we hunted dinosaurs, so saddled them up. We had a T-Rex for a pet. I'm kidding. Back in the day. But, amen. So we are now joint heirs with Christ, and we can be led by the Spirit. And again, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about, it's very important to be led by the Spirit. And it's something that we need to get into our kids. One thing I always tell our girls all the time is they'll ask me questions. It's like, well, you're going to make your own decisions. You know? Mom and dad aren't going to be around forever. You know? So, you know, we got to start doing things. We need to start being led by the Spirit. We need to start praying about things. What are you getting on the inside? Get out. You know, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about? Training ourselves now. I didn't have any of that when I was growing up, did you? No, I didn't have any of this stuff. I mean, we had some things, but it's very important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you leading me to do now? And I just say this, I'm gonna say this, but Adrian and I would have conversations too. You know, sometimes being led by the Spirit sometimes is, you know, everybody says, well, you just don't want to be a quitter, you know. I had a guy that I was in a band with one time. He had some chemical issues at one time, and I said, Don, why don't you quit that stuff? Because I don't want to be a quitter. Okay, that's not really what we had in mind. But the point is, sometimes you need to let things go to pick some other things up, right? There's some things in life are going to be led by the Spirit. We got to let things go so we can, you know, pick new things up. Sometimes quitting isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes you have to just quit, and if it's dead, then it's dead and move on. Sometimes our souls connect to things too. We don't want to move forward. I remember Adrian and I were in Tulsa and or in Oskaloosa, and you know, you have soul ties with people and or you know, friends or family or what have you. And sometimes it's not real easy to get up and move or to make changes in life or career changes or what have you. But you know, always walking with God, it doesn't mean it's always gonna be comfy. And it's going to be convenient. You know, you study people, you know, in the Bible, and I'm pretty sure that Moses probably had no idea what to do when the Egyptian army with Pharaoh was at their back and they were standing in front of the Red Sea. But God does the impossible. And he can do the impossible. And we're going to continue to have faith that God can do the impossible. Amen? Because without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. So being led by the Spirit and also believing, I want to read that scripture, 11:6, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he comes to God, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that what? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, if you are tonight needing answers or needing things, did you know right here, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? And I think sometimes we're just not seeking him enough or spending time with enough, and we're not getting the answers. And by faith, Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. How ridiculous was it for Noah to build a boat when it never rained? That is the most ridiculous thing. And of course, we see that he was mocked, right? All the time. And I don't think Noah had the last laugh because it wasn't funny what happened, right? We always see the Noah's Ark thing, you know, in the nurseries and all the animals and everything. But if you really look at the story, you're like, it's kind of creepy. Because you got people screaming and drowning and all kinds of stuff. And it's not really a happy story, but we, you know, God's judgment coming down. But thank God Noah obeyed when it seemed crazy. And that is the perfect example of obeying God. Let's just admit, if Noah hadn't obeyed God, we were in trouble, right? If Jesus wouldn't have obeyed God, we're all in trouble. If Abraham wouldn't have said yes to God, then, you know, he's a father of faith, we'd kind of be in trouble, right? So it's really important to say yes to God, because a lot of people behind you, you know, may either benefit or perish for it. Father, we just thank you so much for these people tonight. Thank you for Holy Spirit. I thank you so much for your leading and guiding us, Lord. And tonight, I just pray just the eyes of our understanding be enlightened tonight, Lord, that we would see you, and Holy Spirit, we would hear your voice more distinctly. We're not trying to hear your voice, but Lord, you're wanting to speak to us, and we receive that tonight. We receive and we hear your voice clearly, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, have a great week, everybody, and take a look at this little cutie over here before you take off.